Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Signs of Life Radio, Signs of Life's Radio Medium Insights Hour, part of the many amazing services provided by the wonderful Family Forever Family Foundation, an organization that is set up to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka. And the second Thursday of every month, I have the honor and the privilege of conversing with many different gifted mediums. And tonight, our very gifted medium, her name is Nancy Marlowe. Nancy was a psychic as a child, and she grew up sensing spirits and intuitively knew things that just other people didn't know. She knew what others were thinking and what was going to happen. Even though she was only 8 years old, she realized she wasn't like other people. Feeling like a misfit, Nancy closed the door on her intuition abilities for about 40 years. After working as a professional day trader for over 20 years, Nancy was saved by an angel after a horrific car accident. This event compelled her to set aside her skeptical, analytical mind and begin an intense study of spirituality, metaphysics, and the paranormal, eventually leading her to become a professional psychic medium. She's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, a research medium with the Winbridge Institute, and the author of a book called Let Your Soul Shine. Over the years, Nancy has worked as a medical intuitive, a psychic matchmaker, a psychological profiler for attorneys and corporations, a psychic detective, and a forensic medium helping doctors determine causes of death. Also, as a remote viewer, Nancy has found bodies, oil, gas, water, silver, and platinum deposits. Just to let you know, our show is sponsored by a fine group of supporters such as the Camlock Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Percietti, Am I Psychic, and others. And our main topic of discussion tonight is spirituality. Basically, spiritually dedicated mediums versus non-spiritually dedicated mediums. So just for your knowledge, dear listeners, tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes only, so your questions are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Nancy will not be doing any readings tonight, okay? So if you have questions for our esteemed guest, feel free to call our toll-free number at 1-800-627-6008. And with that, I welcome you to our show, Nancy.
Hi. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Very, very glad to have you here. How's the weather in Texas? Is that where you are?
Oh, it was beautiful today. Sunny and about 80 degrees.
Fantastic. We're calling you from the Northeast. I'm calling you from the Northeast, Albany, to be more specific. And we just got our first taste of spring over here with about 60-degree weather, and the sun was shining, and I actually pulled up my Harley-Davidson from storage for the first time after a very long winter, so it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, I know. I love the sunshine. Any day the sun shines, it's just okay with me.
Oh, fantastic. So, Nancy, tell me, you discovered your mediumistic abilities at a very young age. Can you tell our listeners about that experience when you're really young, and how your upbringing kind of shaped your abilities?
Well, as you said in the introduction, I knew things other people didn't know. I didn't realize that other people didn't know these things. I knew what people were going to say or what they were going to do. I knew about dangerous places, where to go and where not to go. And I also had a sense of spirit. I could see images go across the room, and I could feel their presence. But I thought that everybody else was picking up the same information that I was picking up, and come to find out they were not. And it was very frightening to me when I found out I was so different.
How did you find out that you were different from others? Like, what gave you the what gave you that insight?
Well, I was with a group of adults, and they wanted to go somewhere and visit certain people and do a certain thing. I don't even remember what it was now. But I kept telling them, no, let's don't go. I don't want to go. And they would say, well, why not? Why are you so against going? And I said, because when we get to that place, these people are going to act like this. And this and this and this is going to happen, and we're not going to have a good time, and it's there's no need to go. We're going to have a horrible time, so I'd rather stay home. And I was ridiculed for telling them that. They said, how could you possibly know that? You're just a child. You couldn't know that, and how could you know that anyway? And they started laughing at me. And it was like all of a sudden a spotlight was on me, and I wanted to shrink down into the floor. And I just shut up, and we went to the place, and everything I said was going to happen happened, and everybody came back home to the house, and everyone was just upset, wishing they wouldn't have gone. Meanwhile, that night when I went to sleep, got in the bed and pulled the covers up around me, I thought, something's not right here. They're not understanding, or they don't pick up the information I do. Okay. And I'm going to keep my mouth shut about it. Okay. So it was also not favorable in the area, the part of the country and the state that I lived in, to discuss anything paranormal.
Right.
Talking to the dead, or they thought you were flaky, or it was...
Did it kind of go against the religious upbringing and that kind of thing?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, very much so. Going against the religion and the church and that sort of thing.
Right, right. Although I don't think it doesn't say anywhere in the New Testament that you can't, you shouldn't converse with spirits. It might have said it in the Old Testament, which I'm not very familiar with, but there's not any quotes in the New Testament directly relating to that. Anyways, that was at around 8 years old that this event has happened, and for your childhood, I guess you were just repressing all of that information, but it didn't quite turn off. You still had that ability, right?
I still had that ability. I still knew things for myself. I used it for myself as far as selecting friends or where I wanted to go. I used it as much as a child can use it. I used it for myself.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I
didn't discuss it with other people, no.
I guess you won't be getting on too many of those Boeing 737 airplanes.
No.
I would love to have you as a passenger coming with me, No, we're not taking this plane. Okay, no problem.
Well, my husband does that now. We can go somewhere, and I'll say, let's don't go down that street. No, let's don't sit on this park bench here. No, I don't want to go into that store. Let's get out of this neighborhood.
Wow.
He has learned over the years, he doesn't even say anything. He just goes different direction, gets up and moves.
Fantastic. And he will live to a very, very old age.
hopefully, yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah.
So, listen, our main topic tonight, it deals with spirituality. We're comparing mediums that have more of a spiritual upbringing to mediums that do not. And I just wanted to, this goes very, very close with, consciousness. And, spirituality, to me at least, and consciousness go really, really hand in hand to the point that they're almost synonymous with each other. How do you, as a medium, define spirituality, and how do you grasp levels of spirituality, and how do you apply that to your skills as a medium?
Well, for me, spirituality is connecting with, it's such a huge question.
But I know.
I mean, that covers
it's a very
so
broad
many
question.
Topics. But for me, I connect with a dimension that we cannot see, but it exists.
Right.
And I connect with people and entities that exist within this dimension. And I connect with them through a form of spirituality. But from my own personal experiences and from what I've seen in this dimension, I do believe in a creator and a being or a form of energy that's greater than all of us.
Right.
And so I have a divinity connected to the work that I do because I'm a clairvoyant and I literally see angels and in fact was saved from death by an angel. But it's not just the angels, but the fact that I'm connecting with an entity or a being that loves us.
Right.
And wants the best for us and that protects us and is all about unconditional love. So for me, any way I can connect with that feeling of being part of the whole earth and everything created on this earth, the rocks, the trees, the sun, the sky, the dogs, the people,
mm-hmm.
it's all part of creation. And it's the creation of this planet in this universe. But I believe that creation extends beyond our universe. It's infinite. So it's connecting with something that loves us, that is greater than us, and that protects us and wants the best for us. And so I believe that's where our...
I'm sorry, do you have more than one entity that you connect with? Is there a main entity that you connect with spiritually? For example, a particular angel that you keep going back to, or is there a spirit guide or many guides? What is your experience with that?
Well, I connect with a lot of different entities. I meditate before all my readings. I meditate every day to just for myself have that connection with that's greater than me, to feel the love and the healing that I get from doing that. So I connect with our creator every day.
Okay.
I connect with the angels every day. I ask for help and guidance. I do have guides who help me bring in information for people or who bring information to me.
Okay.
There are also another group of beings. I call them the others. They come in a group of 3 to 5. I see them and they're in long robes. I can never see their face. But these entities are the most, they're very, very wise and they heal. They heal people.
Oh.
Yes. And, I don't know where they're from or what they're about, but I see them and feel them all the time. And they come together as a group to heal people.
Now, is this something that you had even as a kid, that you saw these people, these entities?
What I saw as a kid were shadows
okay.
and outlines of people. And I saw them zip by,
okay.
kind of in the corner of my eye.
Right.
And then I would also feel them come up and touch me.
Now, now you see them, I get the sense that you see them better than you did as a kid, and it's something that you've developed over the years through practice and all of that.
Well, I've developed my, after the car wreck, my abilities were enhanced, and then I also started studying, but I'm a clairvoyant, so I see dead people, deceased people, and they show me what they look like. I'll ask them to show me. Sometimes they only show me maybe their eyes or their hands, or they'll show me different body parts that might be very descriptive of them. Sometimes they will show me exactly what they look like from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head, and I can describe their clothing. And sometimes they tell me their names.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So they connect with me in all kinds of different ways now. I see them, hear them. They talk to me. I can sometimes smell their favorite perfume, or I can smell cigarette smoke or cigar smoke, or if they loved coffee, I'll get a strong smell of coffee, you know, fresh brewed coffee.
Right.
Uh-huh. And now, I also sense them and feel them. So I'm able to pick up on their emotions, or if they're physically ill, I pick up on their physical symptoms.
So you're clairvoyant, but you also have your clairsentient, I believe it's called, as well.
Yes.
And you probably hear some what they have to say as well. So clairaudience,
yes.
Right? Okay. So, but most of your information comes from the visual, correct?
No, I get it just as strongly through clairaudience and clairsentience. All three are very strong.
Oh, okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you prepare yourself for reading, you were saying, by meditating. You do that before retreating kind of thing? And entering your consciousness, do you, how long does it take you to get ready? Let's say you have a reading at 7 o'clock on a particular evening. At what time, what point would you start getting yourself ready for that reading?
I usually like to start meditating 15 to 20 minutes beforehand.
Okay.
I like to start connecting.
Okay.
If I have an appointment with a client who wants a mediumship reading to talk to a loved one who's passed,
mm-hmm.
occasionally those spirits will start coming in before the reading. They're so anxious, and I'll start picking up on them before I make the telephone call.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do most of your readings over the phone?
I would say it's about half and half. I read for people all over the world, so it's very convenient to make a telephone call, you know. So, but some people like to come and visit with me in person.
Mm-hmm.
It seems when I do these readings, my aura expands quite far, and so they enjoy coming and sitting next to me and being in that light of the aura. And so anyway, I do both. It's about 50-50.
Oh, fantastic. So do you do readings over Skype as well, where you get the
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very nice. Now, do you also teach mediumship?
Yes, I teach it. I have a teaching degree, actually, and I trained other teachers how to teach and wrote curriculum for the school, so I have a big background in education. But, yes, I do teach.
Okay, and what would you say is one of the toughest obstacles for your students to get over, you know, in order to have success?
I think the is acceptance. Learning to trust their abilities, learning to trust that they actually are hearing, that they're seeing.
So it's
letting themselves go and not being afraid and allowing themselves to be free to pick up the information. I think that's the biggest obstacle to students.
Yeah. I think, yeah, doubt. I mean, a lot of people would, because I could imagine from my point of view, being not mediumistic at all, that, you know, if I start thinking something, it might be wishful thinking, or just, you know, I would say,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's wishful thinking, it's nothing else, you know. So, yeah, it's I can see that, and I guess the more you do that and the more you practice, the better you would become at it.
That's right. It's like learning to play a piano. You can have talent, but you need practice.
Yeah, and certain people have more talent, are born with more talent than others.
Yes, that's true. Everybody. Some people are, but we all have that ability. Everyone has that ability. It's almost a survival instinct.
That's very
Is your sixth sense, is to be able to trust what you're picking up.
Well, this is super fascinating. So, Nancy, we're going to go to a little commercial break. That time, and we're going to go through some commercials, and we will we'll continue this wonderful chat right after the commercial break.
Okie doke.
All right.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, The Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And for those of you just joining us, we are having a very fascinating conversation with psychic medium Nancy Marlowe, and we've been going over her abilities and how she gets her messages, and we've been talking about spirituality and consciousness and all that good stuff that goes along with mediumistic abilities. So welcome back, Nancy.
And yeah, thank you.
Of course. And before we left on the break, we were talking about different abilities and how you're picking up on your messages. We did actually have a caller that managed to get her question to our producer, Don, before being accidentally unhooked for some reason. And her question had something to do with internal processes that you currently use as a medium, Nancy. So can you just tell us, like, you know, let's say you get a reading. You're doing a reading, a typical reading for somebody. You know, most of the time it's because, you know, they've lost a loved one and they want to connect with that loved one. How does that whole process work? What happens first? What comes first? What comes second? What kind of things do you typically go through?
Well, before I call the person, I meditate, and then when they're on the phone, I do say a short prayer. And I ask for permission to say that prayer from the person. It sets the stage to invite the deceased one to come in. Mm-hmm. It's like a prayer-like feeling in the room, connection that we have between us. And I ask that person's guides, angels, teachers, loved ones come in and surround the person with peace and love. And I ask that several times, and I clairvoyantly envision their guides, angels, teachers, and loved ones encircling them, almost holding hands around them with a feeling of peace and love. And I ask that my guides, angels, and teachers come in, and I ask that I'm a clear and accurate, that I give a clear and accurate reading to them today. And then I ask that we go forth after the meeting in peace and love. And so that sets the tone for the reading. And then I read in a semi-trance state. It's a light trance state.
Okay.
And so I just open up and allow spirit to come in. And they start coming in. They make contact with me through several different ways. They want to give. The very most important thing that the spirit wants to relay to the client or to the audience is they want you to know that they're here. And so they start trying to identify themselves. And they do that by showing me what they look like, showing me their personality, showing me how they died. They might say their name. They might give a memory that the two people shared. They might show that to me, and I'll see it and hear it and feel it. And so every single bit of information that I pick up in all these different ways, I will relate to the client and describe it to the client, because I don't know the client. I don't know the dead person. And right. I'm just like a telephone receiving this information, and I'm just relating it. So when I relate it, I ask the audience, the sitter or the client, I'll say, do you understand that? Does that make sense to you? And then they help guide the reading by saying yes, no, or maybe. Maybe that makes sense. I ask them not to give me any information before the reading, because okay. I want them to know that they're getting, I want the spirit to deliver the details to them.
Right.
So that's how we do the readings.
Yeah, so you, basically you don't want any what ifs, any doubt coming from the sitter. Speaking about the sitter, is there a state of consciousness or a spiritual way that the, you know, that's optimal for the sitter to be in to maximize their reading? Is there, or on the flip side of that coin, is there times that a sitter shouldn't get a reading? What do you think about that?
Well, okay, they shouldn't get a reading if they're in a extremely deep state of grief, okay? You need a little time to process the reality that your loved one's gone sometimes. It really depends on the person. I have done readings and had the dead person come in 4 hours after they had passed. Okay. So it's not necessarily the deceased person that wants you to wait a little, but sometimes it's in the best interest of a client not to do it. They're in shock. Okay.
Right.
So it's kind of, so I don't think anybody that's like that needs to be getting a reading. However, I don't see any reason to limit it if it would limit the time, like say, oh, wait a month or 2 months or 3 months. anything like that. It depends on the individual and if they, you know, the state of mind that they're in.
Right. I can see that. I can see that the individual is deeply grieving. They might not benefit from the reading because they might not even remember it. You know, they might not remember what transpired because they're, you know,
so
much in grief as well, you know.
Yeah.
But to me, it sounds like it's in the spirit will come through regardless. It's just the individual, how much they will absorb and benefit. It all depends upon the individual, not the actual spirits.
Well, no, you can't guarantee that a spirit will come through. It's up to them.
Oh, okay.
Any medium that ever says, I guarantee I'm going to bring the spirit that you want to hear from through, is you don't need to go to that medium.
Okay? Oh, I understand.
They come through, they control the reading, not the client, not the sitter. You might want Uncle Joe to come in, but Uncle Joe might not want to come in.
Does that happen to what? Does that happen?
You know, so it might end up somebody else coming in, rather than that particular person.
Does that happen to you often? Is that a typical thing where somebody comes in wanting to hear from a particular deceased loved one and hears from somebody else instead? Is that a commonplace thing to happen?
Yes, it's very common.
Okay.
It's very common. You see, when a medium opens up, deceased people, dead people know it, and they want to get that message across. And they'll start pushing and shoving, trying to get to the front. They will talk over people. It's like a fire sale at the big department store. Okay. You kind of have to work through them to bring through the person that the client wants to hear from.
I see.
So
now, do you have the ability to shut all of that down? Like, let's say you want some alone time. You're in the bathroom and you don't want any spirits with you. Or do you have the ability to shut that wall down completely?
Not 100%, but about 90%.
About 90%. Okay.
Yeah, they'll creep in. They just creep in sometimes. I just see them, and I'll just look up, and they're there. Okay, and they start talking to me. But most of the time when I'm not working, I try to keep it shut down because it requires a lot of energy and focus to do this. And I can't have that in my everyday life. And I don't want that in my everyday life, okay? I want to be friends with people because they like me, not because I'm reading for them or because I've picked up something about them. You know, I want to live a regular life, as much of a regular life as I can with this ability.
Of course. Now, tell us a bit about your book, Let Your Soul Shine. When was that written, and what inspired you to write that book, and what have you... what are the main points in that book that you want to deliver?
This was a book about, it's a book on reflections of love. And it's love of yourself. I have a lot of clients who feel unworthy, or they feel like they don't deserve, or they feel like good things can't possibly happen to them.
Okay.
And I especially see this a lot of times in women, okay, although I see it in men too, but they feel like they're not deserving or they can't do it. I wrote the book for people to understand how wonderful they are and how valuable they are to the world. And what a difference they make in the world, and how special and what an individual they are. And a lot of people who call me are depressed, and they want a reading to see about making their life better, or if it is going to be better. I do a lot of, see a lot of parents who have suffered a child committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of answers that people seek. And
right.
They just need reassurance that they're valuable, that they're loved, that life is eternal, that they can make a difference in the world. And that's what the book is really about. about how wonderful and special each and every one of us are.
Yeah, very nice. I think that, you know, just to elaborate on that, I think we're all here to, you know, we're very brave souls to encounter this trip called life on Earth and to volunteer to come here to experience the, you know, the plethora of emotions that are available to us, the hardships, the love, the success, mm-hmm. the disappointments, and all of that. I think it's kind of like a fast track to learning for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's, I mean, that answers a lot of questions about, you know, when bad things happen to good people, for example, you know, one of the mm-hmm. first things a lot of good people do is, you know, they'll question the existence of God and the existence of a higher, you know, a higher being, saying, why would you let this happen? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that, you know, it's still, you know, for a lot of people, it's still hard to grasp. And there's a lot of materialists out there that just don't get it. And, you know, I've recently, just in order to learn the subject better, because this whole subject has been fascinating me for years. I suffered the loss of a child about 10 years ago, and that's what got me into it. And a lot of people get into it because of those reasons. But, you know, at the same time, I've been reading about mediums and books and all of that kind of stuff. So recently, I've started reading about materialism and the other side, just to kind of, like, you know, they say know your other side, know your opponents kind of thing. So I wanted to study the other side of that so I can get, a you know, some more insights into the mediumistic side about everything. And what I've seen, it all boils down to materialism is, you know, if you can't see it, you can't touch it, it doesn't exist, that kind of thing. So,
uh-huh.
And they say a lot of the mediums are, you know, they practice what's called cold reading, where they look for signs, especially in person, from a person's reaction to whatever's been said and all that kind of stuff. And the other practice is called hot reading, where a person sets up an appointment with a medium, and the medium gets the person's name by a credit card or whatever, Googles the person's name, and gets a plethora of information from that. Now, I'm not saying this doesn't happen. There are mediums out there that, you know, that are very dishonest and that do prey on people. That, unfortunately, is reality. But, you know, what would you... Well, my question is, what do you think of all of this, and what do you think of the skeptics and what they, you know, their argument is, and how would you counter that argument?
Okay.
I know it's a tough question. I'm putting you on the spot. I apologize. But I think it's kind of like
it's about five questions. But
I know, yes.
There are fraudulent people in the world, and there are fraudulent people in every profession there is, and who are dishonest and who will take advantage of people and who are greedy. And so there's dishonesty everywhere, okay? There's dishonesty in this profession, and it has been profound in the past. I don't think we see as much of it now because the media has lit on fire with wanting to understand this. And you see a lot of television shows and radio shows and things like that. People want to understand this now. So there are skeptics, and I say more power to the skeptics. Good for them, because they're questioning, okay? And there's nothing wrong with questioning. Okay, this is great what you're telling me. You know, they might say to themselves or think to themselves, this is great what I'm seeing, what you're telling me, but I can't believe that, so how are you going to prove it to me? Well, that's where evidential mediumship comes in, where you start giving details you couldn't possibly know, private, intimate details you can't Google, okay?
Right.
So that helps skeptical people. I've had a lot of clients, people bring their spouse, and their spouse is a skeptic, and after they leave the reading, they're dumbstruck, and they're not a skeptic anymore, okay?
Yeah.
So it's in experiencing it that eliminates skepticism. But I have to tell you, I'm a very skeptical person, and I'm a very black and white, in a sense, person, logical thinker. I was a day trader for over 20 years. The curriculum that I wrote for teachers was math oriented. And so I question everything too. Mm-hmm. So I don't see anything wrong with questioning. That's how we learn. That's why we have scientists who do experiments.
Right.
And prove things. Okay. So,
when I have a skeptic
come
answer.
To reading, I just ask them to come with an open mind. Okay.
Right. Yep. There's a difference between an open-minded skeptic and a closed-minded skeptic. The closed-minded skeptics are the ones that, you know, they're the ones that kind of, just kind of put a damper on things.
Yeah. They make a show out of it, yeah.
Yeah, like the great Randy, I'm sure you've heard of him. He's got a big following of materialists and closed-minded skeptics, and you know. But there's also, you know, there's a lot of really good research scientists out there, like Julie Beischel from the Winbridge Institute, and you
really?
Know, Dean Radin, and you know, just all these fantastic scientists. I can, you know, there's a whole slew of them, and these guys are, you know, they're PhDs, and they're you know, really, really at the top of their fields that are studying the fact that, you know, consciousness is it's a separate entity from the brain. The brain doesn't create consciousness. The brain is like a receiver of consciousness, just like your television is a receiver of the airwaves, you know.
You have to remember too that a lot of people that are skeptical, or some of these skeptics that have large followings, are getting attention, or they're being paid for that.
Oh yeah, okay. They have a financial incentive to keep doing what they're doing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, they still have, in my opinion, you know, through large institutionalization of, you know, medicine and psychology and everything, they still have the upper hand. But I think now with the, you know, the increased communication of what we are able to do through the internet and through social media, I think there's going to be a lot of big changes coming soon, and it's becoming a lot more acceptable. So these are actually mm-hmm. good times for spiritualists, I would say. So you know what? This time is flying by so quickly. We're going to go to another quick break, and then we're going to wrap it up. So
okay.
Stay tuned, everybody, and hear from our wonderful sponsors, and we will be right back.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's KAMLAK.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right, everybody, thank you for hanging in there with us as we speak to the wonderful Nancy Marlowe and her abilities and the whole topic of spirituality and spiritual mediums. And we kind of verged off the topic a little bit between, you know, the comparison between spiritual and non-spiritual mediums. Nancy, have you ever met a non-spiritual medium?
Do you mean someone who is not connected? What do you mean by non-spiritual medium?
Well, you know,
a
what?
Physical medium?
Well, maybe a physical medium, but they still deal with spirits, right? I mean, there's some physical mediumship is an art form, but it's a very rare art form. But I don't see how a medium could be non-spiritual, because you're dealing with spirits, you're talking to spirits. Non-spiritual, I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, this topic would be like not dealing with spirits, maybe somebody that deals more with more on a psychic side, maybe, or something like that. But that would make them more of a psychic, not a medium, correct?
Yeah. Psychics read information about the living and what's going on in the world of the living. And mediumships connect with those on the other side, entities on the other side.
Right.
And then there's various forms of mediumship, like you were talking about. And then I have met mediums as far as non-spiritual. If you're meaning, is the medium necessarily a spiritual person or a person connecting with angels or divinity of any kind?
Mm-hmm.
There are the intuition is part of who and what you are, and I don't think you have to be religious to be a medium or be connected to anything. You can still pick up information.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, religion and spirituality, they're not opposing forces. They kind of complement each other.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Honestly, from my experience and from what I do, when I get to the other side mentally and I'm working through my soul and I connect on the other side and I see dead people, and I just, for me, I have to believe in a creator. I mean, I just sense that. For me, that's how it works.
That's how you make sense of it. Of course, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think about, you know, the strength of the communications over time, for example? Let's say, you know, somebody has recently deceased. Is there more of a urge from their part to communicate that everything's okay and all that kind of stuff than, you know, 10 years down the road? when, you know, time has passed by and the person, the sitter, is no longer in as deep of a state of grief. Does that take in, does that count? Does that do any, play any factor in the level of the quality of the reading?
Well, spirits, of course, are dead people, so they have different personalities and different desires. So their desire to communicate with the living will vary according to the personality or the dead person's.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, they want to connect right away, right after they've passed, because they don't want their loved ones to grieve for them. Okay, they want to alleviate grief. They want to say, hey, I'm okay. This is where I am, and I'm okay, and I see you, and I still love you, and I exist. Okay, so they have a big urgency, and they will communicate. They will make contact more frequently, and there is an urgency to wanting to contact. You can feel it from the spirit. You can feel it from both parties, the loved one left on earth and the loved one who's passed. You can feel an urgency and a great desire to want to connect again. Okay? Now, when a spirit has been on the other side for a long time, some of that urgency, because some of the grieving has ceased, also the loved one has been on the other side in heaven for a while, and they have a life over there. Okay? They have things to do. They get busy. With things to do over there, and they get involved, and so they don't have the need. However, especially in the case where there's great love, say for instance, you have a couple that's been together forever, you know, and they just love each other dearly, the spouse will hang around. Sometimes they won't even cross. They just hang around with their loved ones until they cross. But they check in quite frequently, okay? I still do readings where the deceased has been dead 10, 20 years, and they still come in and they still talk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I tell you, I've only had to do this one time, but I had a lady that was calling for frequent readings because she wanted to talk to her mother. And or hear from her mother, and she would call pretty frequently, like once a month or once every 2 months. And finally, one time she called, and I heard the spirit say to me, of course, she said, "You're a grown woman, and you're an independent, strong woman, and you need to quit calling me all the time or contacting me all the time, because I want you to be able to live your life and make your own decisions without consulting me. I want you to be independent." And so I heard that and I thought, oh my goodness. You know, so finally I just said, you know, your mother really loves you, but she just said she's not going to be coming in as often as she has been, because she really wants you to, you know, be strong and independent and understand that she still loves you, but that she's going to go on now because she won't be coming in as often. And
That must have been hard for the sitter to hear, but I can appreciate you doing the right thing as a medium and just, you know, letting people just, you know, hey, it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard because, but the woman was, the woman just was contacting her mother too often, and I'm not the judge of that. I just let it happen,
right?
You know.
What would you recommend for? And we have a short amount of time. This is probably my last medium related question. What would you recommend for? People to do, like somebody really wants to get in contact with a loved one, but they don't either have the time or the resources to see a medium. Is there, you know, I know there's meditation, but is there something that people can do to maximize their chances for a successful connection with a deceased loved one?
On their own, as an individual?
Yes.
Well, there's several things, and that is learning to trust what you sense and see and feel and hear. Many times our loved ones talk to us, mm-hmm. and we brush that away. We say, oh, that couldn't have, I thought they were just talking to me, but no, I just heard that because I think that's what they would have said. Like, this is a memory, that's not them. Mm-hmm. So it's learning to trust. Another thing you can do is you can journal. You can sit down and get quiet and write questions. Ask your loved ones questions. What are you doing? How are you? What should I do about this? And then you write down what comes into your mind, okay? Just start writing it down and start keeping this journal, okay? And then go back and read it after a while and see if you don't have a conversation going with them, okay?
Interesting. Is that like, that's like automatic writing, correct?
Yes, it is like that. It is like that. So allow the spirit to talk through you in a relaxed state.
Fantastic. So mm-hmm. before we sign off, Nancy, please tell our readers where and how our listeners can get a hold of you if they would like to get a reading from you.
They can contact me at nancymarlowe.com. That's my website, and they can email me directly, or they can book a reading right there on the website.
Okay.
It's really easy to do. Just go to nancymarlowe.com.
That's M-A-R-L-O-W-E. So Nancy Marlowe, no spaces, just two words smushed together, two names smushed together, .com, correct?
Yep, okay. That's right.
Great, and we really, really appreciate your insights. It was a very, very fascinating topic of discussion, very fascinating to talk to you, Nancy. Thank you so much, and I'm sure our listeners really appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you, Nancy. So I will talk to everybody in about a month's time, and in the meantime, you know, just know that our loved ones are a heartbeat away and that science is going to prove it. Good night, everybody.